Hi, this is Mac Voices at Macworld Conference and Expo. I'm Chuck Joyner, and this is our Day 3 wrap-up panel. Joining me today, for the third day in a row, I guess, is Dan Porhoti of the unofficial Apple weblog and various other websites. Dan, good to have you back.
This concludes what I would consider the week of hell, as tomorrow is the more relaxed day, so I'm really comfortable sitting here right now, knowing that it's over.
I want you to explain why tomorrow's relaxed in a minute. Adam Jackson of Daily Tech Talk. Adam, welcome to Mac Voices. It's great to have you for the first time.
Thanks, Chuck. And I've actually started to lose my voice throughout the course of the week.
I can't imagine why. And back from the Hershey Apple Corps is Joel Pershing. Joel, you're still on your feet.
Absolutely. It's been a great week so far.
And the party last night just added to it, right? Dan, why do you think Friday, of all days, is going to be relaxed? Just because everybody is just out of energy?
Well, the past 3 days, I've maybe gotten 4 hours of 4 hours here and there per night at most. Maybe the night before, 2 to 3 hours. Last night, I was up till 2:30 working on a newspaper deadline for 2 p.m. today. And between 10 and 2, I had a meeting and 3 interviews to do while I was working on the newspaper deadline, and which I didn't get finished until 2:30 anyway. And I didn't eat lunch until 5, so, which is some people technically consider dinner. Tomorrow, though, I actually blocked off about 2 hours to walk the expo hall, something I've never been able to do before. I get on a flight at 6, and I have no meeting scheduled. So maybe it may not be a relaxed day for everyone else, but for me it's getting up at 10 o'clock, getting to the show floor at 11, walking for 2 hours, packing up my stuff and going home.
That sounds pretty good, especially the sleeping till 10 thing. That really does. Adam, this is your first time with us. The last couple panels, you know, we've obviously talked about the iPhone, and the reality distortion field has calmed down a little bit. Now we're focusing on some of the other things. What have you seen that's cool and exciting on the show floor?
The collection of iPod speakers has really got better over the past few years. We started out with just simple docking stations, and now we've got entire wireless units and speakers with built-in video panels in them from people like Griffin and people like Altec Lansing. So that's one of the biggest things that's really stood out to me, and it sure beats dozens of iPod cases left and right. Aside from the iPhone, aside from speakers, I would say that the audio units, audio for the cars, has really increased a lot. And it's nice to have some cars on display that really show the units in action with video integration, FM transmitters, and it's iPod's really taking over the home and car more than ever.
Yeah, it does seem like there's this desire, there's more of a desire to hook your iPod into everything, now your home entertainment system, as opposed to the Mac. Now, whether the Apple TV will change that or not, I don't know, but clearly this show is reflecting that desire to accessorize everything with your iPod.
Yeah, I agree. And taking it back to the Mac, you know, there's really some good software titles that are coming out this year. We've got the main thing that's sticking out in my mind is security of the Mac. You know, more antivirus solutions, more personal firewalls, backup solutions, and things from Intego or theft deterrent systems from Orbicule and things like that, that you can really arm your Mac for wherever you go. And previously, a few years back, we wouldn't have those kind of solutions because antivirus or personal security wasn't as an issue in the Mac user community because there were so little of us and we were so secure. But nowadays, it's certainly a larger issue we all need to look at.
Joel, I know you and I spent a little time together today, and you also snuck off and were doing a whole lot of other things. What did you discover that was interesting?
Well, a couple of things. Blurb.com, which is an alternative book printer, similar to Apple service, but a little bit more flexible, more designs. They also have, I'm not sure if Apple does or not, but you can get up to a 440-page book printed, which would solve my desire to write the next American novel. I could just have it done there. The other thing, I just found this before I came up. Hewlett-Packard has what they call a LightScribe drive. It's actually a CD-DVD burner. And after you burn your content, you flip it over, and the laser actually etches the label on the opposite side, which is pretty cool. And the really cool part about it is it's only $99. So that's a very neat product. And the other thing, we've talked a lot about hardware and gizmos and gadgets, and we're all kind of gadget freaks here. But the other thing, I took the opportunity to take one of the feature presentations, Joel Meyerowitz, who in the presentation was called Into the Light. He's a world-famous photographer, and he did the photography, all the photography you saw from inside Ground Zero from the 9/11. He was the photographer and did a very nice talk about the whole concept of how he looks at photography and composition and the fact that he's using digital printers now, HP printers in particular, just goes to show how far they've come. One story he told at the very beginning was right after HP approached him, they sent him a printer and they said, well, let's take out an original print, my reference print, and then scan the negative, reprint it on the HP printer. And it was so good, the detail was so good, the content of the new print was so good, he said, well, that does it, we're going to have to reprint everything. He just fell in love with the technology, and it just goes to show how far the printers have come in really a short time.
That sounds good. You were busy. The one thing that, Adam, you were talking about iPod cases and iPod speakers. I stopped by the iMango booth. I don't know if you saw that. It's an interesting little combination of case and portable speaker system that I happen to really like because it looks like it'll be very durable. They showed me they dropped it, didn't damage it at all. It looks like something you take around, carry around, and be able to use your iPod in situations without having to be plugged into your earplugs and not be aware of things like the sirens that are in the background right now. What timing, Dan? How do you feel about the balance between iPod and not iPod stuff? I won't even say Macintosh, but just iPod and not Macintosh, not iPod materials at the show.
I remember last year specifically. By the end of the show, everyone was complaining that it was more of an iPod case show than it was anything else. This year, there are a few iPod case booths that tend to be pretty secluded off from the rest of the show, and there are a few of those companies that really, kind of like hack job products that they patch together and put on the show floor. But for the most part, it's a lot of really good products, not just iPod cases. Like I said, I haven't had much of an opportunity to walk the floor. But what I have seen is generally pretty good Apple products, more towards the accessory line, as he was talking about, instead of the cases that, plagued us last year. It was like locusts sent from the devil or something. I did see one product. You always go to the big booths first because, that's where everyone goes, and those typically have the really great products. But the smaller booths, like the software, the indie Mac software developers, have some pretty good stuff. I work with a lot of text, and there's a product called Text Soap. I have a problem because I always copy text from one application to another. I get it from online or email, and it's always improperly formatted. Or I may be writing an article for the web, and I do all my formatting in Microsoft Word, and I do all the italics and bold in there. And so if I want to transfer to the web, I have to manually add all my HTML tags. TextSoap is like a batch text editor. I can create various tools and run that. It has a series of built-in conversion techniques that I can say, okay, there's this text in this one application, take it all and convert it to HTML for me, or take it and remove extra line breaks and take it or make tabs where there are line breaks and things like that. And it's actually integrated into software, so it'll be like, I think it's like a service or just something that you can say install into TextEd, install into Microsoft Word, and there's just a tool that you can pop down and do it that way instead of having to copy and paste it back and forth, which saves a lot of hassle. So that's definitely a product I'm going to look into. I also saw a company called Geffen, and they have, it's not very much of an interesting company, but they have a lot of converter boxes, basically what they do. And that, a lot of times, you're trying to figure out how to connect a plug that's like a square and how to fit it into the hole in this product, and it often doesn't work. And I was looking at Geffen, they have a lot of converters for, video, FireWire, things like that. Which I didn't know their company existed before this, and now I know if I ever have a situation like this, I know I can go to them. And then these tune tether things that I was just handed look pretty neat too. You put around your neck and you put in the iPod cable so they don't get tangled, and you keep them organized. I have to look more at those.
That's good, Adam. I'm gonna give you maybe a challenging question. You're a busy guy. So I tend to think of you a little bit more like me, that you're looking for productive things and important things. What was the most fun thing? Yeah, not you, Dan. No. What was the most fun thing you saw that appealed to you at Expo? Or didn't you pay attention to any of the fun things?
I haven't actually had the opportunity to get on the floor either. I've been in the just hanging out in the seats downstairs, writing and processing photos and audio content the entire week long. So I've got to admit that I've only walked around just a couple of times to see my favorite booths. But if it comes to actual fun things, you know, non-get things done applications, I have to say the amount of items that are available from groups like Belkin or Geffen, those kind of groups that enable you to connect more things together, like large USB hubs or USB hubs that also have, you know, charging outlets or different technology built into them that just makes things a lot easier. The convergence of having a mouse that also, you know, you can stick a memory stick into and use that as your memory reader. That kind of stuff on the store floor is really interesting, and it's nice to see the convergence of devices, because people like me, I have, you know, 3 or 4 USB hubs with multiple devices coming out and 4 or 5 hard drives, and seeing the hard drives getting larger with iPod docking stands built into them, those kind of things that just make things a lot easier for me.
Joel, do you want fun or productive? I'll give you your choice.
I'm not a very productive guy, so I think I'll have to take fun. I am on vacation, you realize. You guys are working. I'm having fun all the time. I really hadn't given much thought to some of the docking stations or for the iPod in particular. And I have a Bose Wave system that I use for the alarm clock, and which sounds great. But some of the other ones, the new units with the iPod and the alarm clock look really good. I'm kind of hoping Bose comes out with one, though, with a dock, you know, the Wave unit with a dock for the iPod. The sound on that's just incredible. But these new ones down here sound really good, too.
The thing that always strikes me at Expo, and we all fall into the trap, we want to see what's new, what's cool, what the latest releases are. There's some companies here that have upgraded their products by, you know, relatively small upgrade paths, or, you know, don't even have any upgrades, but they're still cool products. I know the Circus Ponies booth was jammed. Now they are serving popcorn. That helps. But they were jammed. The folks at B-Light, who do Business Card Composer and several other things, were also very busy. You couldn't get there. The guys over at Radtech always are jammed full. They make, I don't want to say gadgets, but they make just really useful little things for your Mac and iPod that are great. How about other established companies, maybe that didn't have the latest whiz-bang thing, but that you think people should stop by and see or at least pay attention to? Dan, anybody, any favorites?
Well, Google, you know, is the company everyone already knows about. And they really didn't make any major announcements here at Macworld, but as always, their products are, you know, pretty cool to play with, especially something like SketchUp, which is a really great 3D modeling application that has a free version, and, you know, it's really fun to play with. Google Maps, Google Earth, I mean, I haven't used it for a while. I used the early betas, and I remember back then, we were actually talking about this earlier, that, you know, you could change the angle on the display, but it would be flat still, so you basically could see the angle, and I couldn't really tell why, but now they're incorporating depth and stuff like that, so you can actually see buildings at certain heights. My friend Mike was telling me that he actually uses it now for when he's practicing, or when he's mapping out his flight route for a school. NEC, which is a company I did an interview with today, it's another big display company. They introduced a few products, nothing really spectacular, but just some interesting displays with some neat software. They call it SpectraView, which basically is a way to calibrate your color on your display and make it an almost permanent calibration. There's a little device inside that constantly monitors how the display responds to certain colors and how it ages over time and constantly calibrates it to your liking. Edemotic Research, I think I talked about them a little bit yesterday. They released their Bluetooth in-ear, the first ever Bluetooth in-ear headphones, and they actually work incredibly well. So, you know, you're often on a plane or sitting on a train or doing something with the wire, and when the wires get in the way, those Bluetooth in-ear phones are perfect for that. And Shure also released a new set of in-ear phones, which is, they're another big company that, and their new earphones are basically a rebranding of the old E-series, or now the SE-series. The nice thing about their new ones is that the cables are actually modular, so you can unplug the cord and plug in a longer or shorter one, depending on what you want to do. So if you want to exercise, you obviously don't want this long cord hanging down in front of you. You'll get tangled up, you'll trip, you'll pull the phones right out of your ears. So you can get a smaller cable, so like a 3-foot as opposed to a 6-foot, which I thought was neat too.
Joel, I'll take you next. What established companies that you stopped by and it was good to see what they're doing?
HP, surprisingly, with the LightScribe, and I'm really impressed with the printers, as I said before. But it's strange that since Apple only introduced the iPhone and really no new hardware or software, they're almost secondary to some of the other new things that you can actually put your hands on.
Adam, I'll give you the last word. Favorite companies, and I know you didn't get to the show floor, but there's probably somebody out there that you have in mind.
One thing I did see was, I think we're beginning that new era of the shareware developer, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but the whole MacZot, My Dream App year we had is testament to this year of Macworld, because we're seeing like groups like AppZapper and the small guys with booths this year, and they're doing incredibly well, and they've created some great shareware that previously wasn't really highlighted. And now you see people that are going to the version tracker or Mac update, and they're looking for shareware and new fun things to try out in hopes to find something that is spectacular, that can change the way they work. So seeing those small guys have booths and selling software and doing really well is nice to see it for a change, as opposed to the big guys just doing selling software.
Yeah, and I think there's an opportunity here for Macworld Expo going forward to welcome some of those vendors, the shareware authors, give them an opportunity to be seen in this environment, because exhibiting at Expo is expensive, and maybe there's a way that they can help get them in and expose them a little. Because it seems to me that the line between shareware and commercial software is blurring, if not completely blurred. It just almost depends on what you want to call it. Dan, you're waving your hand wildly.
I was thinking of something. You'd say big established companies that are kind of being glossed over. There's something I don't think we talked about, and that's Microsoft announcing Office for the Mac 2008. And that's their brand new Office version for the Mac, which is going to be universal. It's going to be, I think, second half of 2007, and it's going to actually incorporate the Ribbon toolbar that's in the new Microsoft Office version for Windows. It's basically a smart toolbar up top that kind of eliminates the dynamic toolbar we used to have on the side of the display, the palette. And so depending on the document you're in and the settings you actually have clicked, if you're on a text box or a picture or on Words or whatever, the ribbon actually changes to whatever the features or the settings you want to mess with. It's actually really nice. It's a little big. It takes up a lot of the screen, but it's showing that the Mac BU is actually keeping up with the Windows Office development team, even though it's going to be a little bit later. But that's something that not many people are talking about. It's being greatly overshadowed by Apple's announcements and by everyone else's announcements. But I think it's obviously going to have a huge impact on the Mac community, because Office for the Mac is something almost everybody uses. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to test a trial version of this.
Yeah. Good point. And I think the other reason that it probably hasn't garnered a lot of mind share, at least with us, is that it is that many months away and there's so many things that are going to be available sooner. And I know before somebody emails me, I know the iPhone won't be here till June 2, so... Guys, thank you for taking the time. It's been a long week and certainly a long day, but it's good to wrap up Expo while everything is still fresh. Hopefully we'll see at least some of you back here for day 4 wrap-up. Dan Porhoti, Adam Jackson, Joel Pershing, thank you very much. I'm Chuck Joyner, and this is Mac Voices at Macworld Conference and Expo. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening.